from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Thursday, July 14th, 2022. Coming up this hour,
speculation grows about a 1% rate hike by the Fed this month.
Wall Street braces for another report on inflation.
Bank earnings begin with JPMorgan Chase and Morgan Stanley reporting this morning.
And President Biden boosts Israel's military as his Middle Eastern trip continues.
Two more shark attacks took place within hours off Long Island. Plus, the New York City Council demands Mayor Adams restore school budgets. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Yankees came from behind to beat the Reds. The Mets won in Atlanta. The Open Championship Golf underway in Scotland.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York. Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 1061 Boston. Bloomberg 960 San Francisco. Sirius XM 119. And around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business App.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures are falling this morning. We're coming up to 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are down 46 points, Dow futures down 335, and NASDAQ futures down 131. The DAX in Germany is down 0.8%. 10-year Treasury down 9/32, yield 2.96%, and the yield on the 2-year at 3.19%. Nathan.
Karen, reaction is still rolling into yesterday's hot reading on inflation. The dollar is trading at a 24-year high against the yen, and speculation is growing that the Fed's next move may be a 1% rate hike rather than a 75 basis point increase. We caught up with Cleveland Fed President Loretta Mester.
Certainly, the inflation report suggests that there's no reason to say that a smaller rate increase than we did last time, right? Because nothing moved in that direction.
Cleveland Fed President Loretta Mester made those comments in an interview with Bloomberg's Kathleen Hayes. Stay tuned for more of that conversation coming up shortly here on Bloomberg Daybreak.
Well, Nathan, Mester is not the only Fed official hinting of higher rates to come. Atlanta Fed President Raphael Bostic says, quote, everything is in play for policy action this month. We get more from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
His comment came after data showed that U.S. inflation accelerated again to a fresh four-decade high last month. Speaking to reporters in St. Petersburg, Florida, Bostic said the top-line number is a source of concern and everything is in play. The comments add fuel to bets that the Fed is more likely than not to raise interest rates by 100 basis points when it meets later this month. In New York, Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thank you. And coming up today, we get another reading on inflation with the release of the Producer Price Index for June. Here with a preview is Bloomberg's Michael McKee.
Though it would seem logical, the Producer Price Index actually doesn't really lead moves in the Consumer Price Index, and that may be a good thing. Unlike consumer prices, producer prices have been falling a little bit after reaching a peak in March. The Economist consensus forecast is that continued to come down in June. But CPI surprised to the upside last month, and there's a risk at least headline PPI could do the same. Oil and gasoline prices rose, as did other commodities, pushing up the cost of goods. The unanswered question is how service prices have behaved. Watch the trade services index in the PPI. It's something of a proxy for margins as earnings season gets underway in the U.S. Michael McKee, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Mike, thanks. And speaking of earnings, the season gets started this morning in earnest when big banks report. And we get the details from Bloomberg Global Finance correspondent Shanali Basak.
J.P. Morgan and Morgan Stanley kick off earnings for the biggest U.S. banks, and recession fears are growing across the economy. The question is, are provisions for loan losses going to build, especially at J.P. Morgan, where net interest income is also rising due to higher interest rates? The question is, how much will that offset any future pains from any potential recession ahead? I'm Shanali Basak, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Shanali, thank you. As recession fears grow on Wall Street, one top tech executive says the industry will be able to weather the storm. Let's get that live from Bloomberg's Renita Young. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Nathan. IBM CEO Arvind Krishna says he believes business technology spending will remain robust above GDP growth, even including Europe. And this is even after others in the industry have been pessimistic in the face of a potential U.S. recession and resulting slower growth.
When you look at supply chain, inflation, labor demographics, interest rates, technology offers you a way to scale without necessarily increasing costs that are linear or worse than linear.
IBM CEO Arvind Krishna is less optimistic about supply chain problems. He says they are a real fundamental issue that's going to be ongoing on for a couple more years. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thank you. Well, turning to politics now, President Biden will signal a continuing U.S. commitment to Israel's defense as part of his trip through the Middle East. The president signs a joint declaration with Israel's new prime minister, extending an agreement that provides billions of dollars to the country's military. Tomorrow, Biden heads to Saudi Arabia. Democratic Congresswoman Abigail Spanberger says he'll need to project American values when he meets with Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman.
He must raise the issue of Jamal Khashoggi's murder. He must continue to ensure that we have strong expectations of what our Saudi partners are or are not bringing to the table, whether they are or are not meeting the expectations that we have in terms of the values that they are kind of abiding.
Congresswoman Abigail Spanberger of Virginia spoke with our Washington correspondent Joe Matthew on Bloomberg Sound On. Catch the program weekdays at 5 p.m. Eastern on Bloomberg Radio.
Well, we have new developments in the battle against the pandemic this morning, Karen. The nation's top doctor says the Omicron BA.5 variant is becoming worrisome. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
COVID response coordinator Dr. Ashish Jha says it's something to very carefully watch.
It is certainly the most immune evasive. What we're seeing is people who were previously infected getting reinfections at high rates, people who got vaccinated, let's say, last year, having a ton of breakthrough infections. So something that we're, you know, obviously paying very close attention to.
Yeah, and Dr. Jha says mitigation tools like smart use of masks and, of course, vaccinations is important. He says everybody over 50 needs a second booster. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ed, thank you. And despite COVID concerns and current economic conditions, back-to-school shoppers are expected to spend a record amount this year. According to a survey by Deloitte, sales for the season are expected to total $34.4 billion. That breaks down to $661 per student, an increase of 8% from a year earlier. Again, futures moving lower this morning. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports, and this is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. It's 5:07 on Wall Street. We're at 73 degrees in Central Park. Big problems for rail commuters this morning. Michael Barr is here with that and more that's going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. Commuters are saying, oh, great, here we go. This just in, New Jersey Transit has suspended service in and out of New York City. Rail service is suspended into and out of Penn Station, New York, due to Amtrak overhead wire issues. New Jersey Transit rail tickets and passes will be cross-honored by New Jersey Transit bus and private carriers. PATH is cross-honoring at Newark Penn Station, Hoboken Terminal, and Penn Station, New York. It is the third shark attack in 10 days on Long Island. A 49-year-old man was attacked by a shark yesterday evening, less than 12 hours after a paddleboarder was attacked at a nearby beach that morning. According to the Suffolk County Police, the man was standing waist-deep in the water at Seaview Beach on Fire Island when he was bitten on his wrist around 6 p.m., also his leg. Earlier that morning, a 41-year-old man was bitten by a shark while paddleboarding at Smith Point Beach. Both suffered non-life-threatening injuries. Suffolk County Executive Steve Ballone.
I think it is an indication, however, that what we're looking at is something of a new normal.
Suffolk County Executive Steve Ballone says the tiger sharks are closer to the shore than they've been. In New York City, the council members are calling on Mayor Eric Adams and the Department of Education not to exercise budget cuts. In a joint letter, council members say it will result in the city spending less on each child. Last month, the city council signed off on a $250 million budget cut in Adams' 2023 city budget. Now council members say the Adams administration misled them by saying the cuts would be fully accounted for by declining enrollment. A new mental health clinic in the Bronx just opened its doors. Mayor Eric Adams says the short-term treatment center will provide New Yorkers with mental health and substance abuse issues immediate access to services.
We unfairly treated the New York City Police Department and this city in so many ways. We called on them to do everything. We called on them when someone had a gun. We called on them when someone had a cat up the tree. We called on them when someone was going through a mental health crisis. We called on them for everything and didn't realize that we had other agencies that we should have coordinated with.
Mayor Adams, again, New Jersey Transit suspended service in and out of New York City overhead wire issues. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. 5:10 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg Sports Update with John Stashower.
Thanks, Nathan. Yankees and Reds at the stadium. The Yanks trying to avoid their first four-game losing streak of the season. The night did not begin well. Luis Severino injured most of the last three seasons. He's been so good this year, but he served up three home runs in the second inning while taking his warm-up tosses in the third. He left the game, headed for an MRI on his shoulder. Yanks fell behind 4-0, came back. Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, three-run double. They led 5-4, trailed 6-5. Giancarlo Stanton, a game-tying home run, eighth inning. Yanks scored in the 10th for yet another walk-off win, 7-6. Mets used the long ball in Atlanta.
Morton delivers, and Lindor rips it deep in the air, right field. Acuna turns around, watches it fly. That one's way out of here. A three-run blast for Francisco Lindor. He comes through in the top of the third inning, and he extends the Mets' lead to 4-0.
CBS had it. Solo shots for Mark Canna, Eduardo Escobar. Mets beat the Braves 7-3. Chris Bassett got the win. Mets take the series, lead Atlanta by 2.5. They visit the Cubs tonight. Two American League teams stretch their winning streaks to 10. The Seattle Mariners, who've gone longer than any team in all of sports without making the postseason, and the Baltimore Orioles, baseball's worst team over the last several years. The Mariners now tied for a playoff spot. The Orioles only two games behind. Toronto fired manager Charlie Montoyo. The Rangers have signed free agent Vincent Trocheck away from Carolina. Open Championship Golf, 150th edition, underway at historic St. Andrews. Minwoo Lee stand eagle on the 14th hole. Got to 4-under. He's got a one-shot lead. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
John, thanks. S&P futures down 42 points. Dow futures down 325. NASDAQ futures lower by 113 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, mix of sun and clouds, some showers and storms developing through the day with a high near 90 degrees. Sunshine near 90 tomorrow, mix of sun and clouds, upper 80s Saturday. Right now, 73 in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures are falling this morning along with European shares, and the dollar resumed its advance after high U.S. inflation hardened expectations for more aggressive Federal Reserve monetary tightening that could trigger a recession. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 44 points, Dow futures down 329, and NASDAQ futures down 128. The DAX in Germany is down 0.7%. 10-year Treasury down 6/32nds, yield 2.95%. The yield on the two-year, 3.19%. NYMEX crude oil is down 2.7%, down $2.60 at $93.72 a barrel. And COMEX gold is down 1.3%. It's at $17.13.50 an ounce. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Karen. President Joe Biden will seek to bolster cooperation between the U.S., Israel, and other countries during his first full day in the Middle East. His schedule today involves meetings with Israeli Prime Minister Yair Lapid. The FDA authorized the Novavax COVID-19 vaccination for emergency use in adults. In baseball, the Yankees beat the Reds. The Mets beat the Braves. The Nationals lost both games of a doubleheader to the Mariners. The Orioles beat the Cubs. The Giants topped the Diamondbacks. The A's lost to the Rangers. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. It's 5:19 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. The Federal Reserve has its work cut out for it when it comes to inflation. That's according to Cleveland Fed President Loretta Mester. Her comments follow yesterday's hot reading on consumer prices. Mester spoke with Bloomberg's Kathleen Hayes late yesterday about the latest CPI report and where the Fed goes from here. Let's go to part of that interview now.
About a week and a half ago, you said that if conditions were pretty much the same as they were then, you would be on board. You would probably be supporting a 75 basis point rate hike. Now what we saw in the inflation report, even higher than expected, few signs that inflation is easing up. Would you be on board potentially with a 100 basis point hike at the July meeting?
Well, Kathleen, we don't have to make that decision today. And there's more data coming out that I'm going to be very attuned to. We have retail sales coming out on Friday, and we have a very important University of Michigan report. And, of course, that's important because it has the inflation expectations measure, a consumer measure in there. So, you know, we have data coming out. What I take from the report, and it was uniformly bad, there was no good news in that report at all, was that inflation remains at an unacceptably high level. We at the Fed have to be very deliberate and intentional about continuing on this path of raising our interest rate until we get and see convincing evidence that inflation is turned the corner, is on a downward path, and is sustainably on a downward path, and that we just have more work to do. So, you know, we'll make that decision about, you know, what the right number is mm-hmm. in terms of the rate increases. But we're going to have to continue on this path okay. because we haven't seen monthly numbers coming down. You know, even the monthly numbers are moving in the wrong direction. Mm-hmm. So we just have to be very intentional here. The Beige Book came out today as well, and as you saw in that report, and that's a nice report because it really shows you across the country, our business contacts and consumer contacts, there's concern about recessionary risk going up.
Yes.
But the main point in that report that I took was there is continuing to be price pressures, no alleviation there. And that some of the moderation in demand is really being driven by the fact that consumers have to pull back some of their discretionary spending
yes.
because the prices uh-huh. of food and energy and other essentials are so high.
So let me ask you this. Is 100 basis points, if we had asked you about 100 basis points a couple of weeks ago, 2 or 3 months ago, I don't even think we'd have thought to ask you. But is that something, though, you could see being discussed? Would you discuss it? Is it something, given what we see in inflation now, that is, quote unquote, on the table, that maybe has to be under consideration because the Fed has to figure out just how aggressive you have to be?
Well, we're going to have the meeting and we're going to talk about what the appropriate path of policy is. And again, you know, we don't have to make a decision today. We're going to take into account all the data. But, you know, we're having this conversation. The markets are having a conversation and putting their money where their mouth is in terms of where market expectations are. So we're going to be talking about the appropriate path of policy. And I have not seen any convincing evidence that inflation has turned the corner, right? We haven't seen anything that in that new CPI report that suggests inflation is turning down. Now, we do know that energy prices, right, have fallen compared to the prior month. So, there's some expectation that the next report on inflation,
okay.
we might see that part going down. But on the other hand, we have shelter prices going
right.
up. So, again, you know, I think it's much more the focus, I think, is on the fact that we're going to have to keep moving interest rates up,
mm-hmm.
being very deliberate and intentional about it.
Right.
You know, if we're moving toward a 2.5%, what the long run neutral rate is, my own belief is that we're going to need to go beyond that and well
mm-hmm.
beyond that because, right, inflation and inflation expectations are higher okay. than 2% now.
Okay.
So we're going to have to keep moving. And the pace at which we do that at and, you know, what any particular meeting is really going to be driven by, are we seeing demand get into better balance with
okay.
constrained supply, which remains constrained, in order to see that inflation get on that a sustainable downward trajectory.
Okay. So,
and we have not seen that.
And that was Cleveland Fed President Loretta Mester speaking with Bloomberg's Kathleen Hayes on the heels of yesterday's hot inflation reading. You can catch the full interview. We have it up for you on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg terminal. Futures continue to point lower following yesterday's hot CPI print. And as we look ahead to producer prices later this morning, right now, S&P futures are down 49 points. That's a drop of 1.3%. Dow futures are lower by 359 points. And NASDAQ NASDAQ futures lower by 143 points. The 10-year Treasury is down 7/32. The yield, 2.96%. The yield on the 2-year, 3.19. NYMEX crude is down 2.6% at $93.75 a barrel. The euro right now, 1.0022 against the dollar. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 11:30 weather. Showers and storms developing through the day as we head near 90 degrees. We'll be sunny tomorrow with a high near 90. Mix of sun and clouds to start the weekend. Right now, 72 in Central Park.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 991. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 4 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Reaction still rolling into yesterday's hot reading on inflation. The dollar is trading at a 24-year high against the yen, and speculation is growing that the Fed's next move may be a 1% rate hike. Cleveland Fed President Loretta Mester says there's a lot of work left to do to cut inflation.
Job one for us is to get inflation under control. And I say that knowing that the risk of recession have gone up. But that's part of what we're trying to do is normalize or moderate demand. Because if we don't do this, we're going to have many more problems in the economy going forward.
Cleveland Fed President Loretta Mester made the comments to Bloomberg's Kathleen Hayes. Catch the full interview on Bloomberg.com and on the Bloomberg Terminal.
Well, Mester isn't the only one hinting at higher rate increases, Karen. Atlanta Fed President Raphael Bostic says, quote, everything is in play, end quote, for policy action. He calls yesterday's top-line CPI number a source of concern. We get another reading on inflation in just a few hours with the release of the producer price index.
Well, Nathan, there's also more data to digest this morning. Earnings season gets underway as big banks open their books for the second quarter. Coming up today, we get results from J.P. Morgan and Morgan Stanley.
And as recession fears grow on Wall Street, Karen, one top tech executive says his industry will be able to weather the storm. Bloomberg's Renita Young joins us live with more. Renita?
Good morning, Nathan. IBM CEO Arvind Krishna says he believes business technology spending will remain robust above GDP growth, including in Europe. And this is even after others in the industry have been pessimistic in the face of a potential U.S. recession and resulting slower growth.
When you look at supply chain, inflation, labor demographics, interest rates, technology offers you a way to scale without necessarily increasing costs that are linear or worse than linear.
IBM CEO Arvind Krishna is less optimistic about supply chain problems. He says they'll go on for a couple more years. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Renita, thank you. And turning to politics now, President Biden will signal a continuing U.S. commitment to Israel's defense today, signing a joint declaration with Israel's new prime minister that provides billions of dollars to the Israeli military. Up next, the president heads to Saudi Arabia for a meeting with Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman. It is currently, well, futures this morning are moving lower with S&P futures down 45 points. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. 5:33 on Wall Street, 72 degrees in Central Park. And the big headline locally this morning, big problems on the rails. Michael Barr has that and more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Michael?
Thank you very much, Nathan. Commuters are saying, here we go. New Jersey Transit has suspended service in and out of New York City. Apparently, there are overhead wire issues. Buses and the PATH train are cross-honoring. Of course, we're following this story throughout the morning. Two more shark bites happened within hours off Long Island. Yesterday, Suffolk County executive Steve Ballone called it the new normal.
They've always been here, but they're closer to shore now.
Ballone says in one attack, a surfer punched the predator.
Was knocked off his board and then saw the shark coming back around towards him.
Suffolk County Executive Steve Malone says both men suffered non-life-threatening injuries. It is the third shark attack in 10 days off Long Island. New York City Council members called on Mayor Eric Adams and the Department of Education to halt school budget cuts they say will result in the city spending less on each child. Last month, the City Council signed off on the $215 million budget cut in passing Adams' 2023 city budget. However, in a joint letter, council members say they were misled when the Adams administration said the cuts would be fully accounted for by declining enrollment. Highland Park, Illinois, held a candlelight vigil to honor those killed and injured during the July 4th parade mass shooting. Mayor Nancy Rotary.
We are all survivors. Each of us will have a different experience and a different timeline as we find a way to move forward into our new normal.
Mayor Nancy Rotering says seven people were killed. Again, our top story, New Jersey Transit has suspended service in and out of New York City, apparently overhead wire issues. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thanks. 5:35 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg Sports Update with John Stanshauer.
Thanks, Nathan. The Yankees had lost three in a row, blown leads in all three. This time, they were the ones that came from behind, down 4-0, later 6-5. They beat the Reds at the stadium 7-6, 10 innings. The winning run scored on a wild pitch. Isaiah Kiner-Falefa had a three-run double. Giancarlo Stanton, a game-tying home run. Now the Yanks await word on an MRI on Luis Severino's shoulder. He knew early on last night something was wrong.
On first pitch, I think it was like 90, 91. You know, that's not me. But I thought, like, you know, I couldn't get a little bit more. But after that second inning, you know, when I was warming up, I was getting worse. So I told myself, like, before something even bigger happened, let me, you know, stop it right here.
Severino's made it back from multiple injuries over the last few years. Mets won in Atlanta 7-3. They hit three home runs, including a three-run shot for Francisco Lindor. They win the series and lead the Braves by 2.5. And tonight, they play the Cubs at Wrigley, where Baltimore won again last night. The Orioles have won 10 in a row. Still in last place, but they're over 500, only two games out of a playoff spot. NHL free agency, the Rangers signed Vincent Trocheck to a 7-year deal. He's been with Carolina. They also added a veteran backup goalie, Yaroslav Halak. Open Championship Golf underway at historic St. Andrews, and right now there's a three-way tie for the lead at 4-under par. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
John, thanks. 5:36 on Wall Street. Time for the Tri-State Business Report. Here's Bloomberg's Ed Corey.
Manhattan apartment rents hit a record in June, with even more pain to come for prospective tenants as the market heads into its most competitive season. New leases were signed last month at a median of $4,050, according to appraiser Miller Samuel and brokerage Douglas Elliman Real Estate. Tommy Hilfiger, which is owned by PVH, says it's returning to New York Fashion Week for the first time in 3 years. The brand plans to offer what it calls an experiential runway event that'll unveil the latest See Now, Buy Now fall 2022 collection. New York reached a $500,000 settlement to resolve claims of harassment, discrimination, and wage theft at a popular Lower Manhattan bar. It's part of a crackdown on worker mistreatment. New York Attorney General Letitia James claims the bar's owner allowed male managers to engage in sexual commentary on female workers. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey.
Thanks, Ed. 5:37 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Steve Potusk, and on 1010 Winds in New York, we're talking about Manhattan rents jumping to yet another record.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KTRH in Houston. Expensive gasoline is keeping more drivers off the road.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WBBM in Chicago, I'm reporting that a new Fed Bank of Chicago survey shows the U.S. economic outlook is worse today than it was at the depths of the pandemic.
I'm Jeff Bellinger, and on WIOD in Miami, I'm reporting American Airlines will resume flights between Miami and five destinations in Cuba this fall.
I'm Caroline Hepcom, Bloomberg DAB, Digital Radio in London. We've been reporting on market reaction to the latest political turmoil in Italy as Mario Draghi's government faces a confidence vote.
I'm Ed Corey on WWJ in Detroit. I'm reporting an analyst says second quarter results for most auto companies will probably miss estimates.
Those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. And speaking of second quarter results, we are definitely waiting for those this morning from J.P. Morgan Chase and Morgan Stanley as bank earnings kick off this morning. Bloomberg Radio and TV markets correspondent Kriti Gupta is with us with more on that. Are we expecting pretty big moves, I would imagine, Kriti, once those numbers hit?
We're expecting some pretty big moves. Remember, this is not just a stock-specific story. This is a fundamental story for the entire economy. Now, there's a couple different layers here, so Nathan, bear with me as I parse through them, because at the very beginning, you do, of course, have loan loss provisions. How much are banks bracing for a recession, bracing for some sort of losses or things like that? How much faith at the end of the day do they have in that consumer? Remember, Jamie Dimon of J.P. Morgan has been very vocal in terms of the strength of the consumer, but did ultimately say that, well, a recession isn't off the table. So those are going to be the kind of comments that we're going to hear from him as well. Remember, he did also warn last month of an economic, quote, hurricane on the horizon. What that actually entails, he was less specific about, but hopefully more details. From the company itself, though, remember, we're not just watching loan loss provisions, we're also watching trading revenue. Nathan, the market has tanked year to date, so that's going to be a major one. How do some of these trading houses and some of their commodities units or their fixed income units actually tread water or perhaps make up for some of their other shortfalls and things like investment banking? Deal volume has been very, very low, for example. So that's going to be a big question. And that's just JP Morgan. Then you got Morgan Stanley, which you then have to include their wealth management business and, of course, E-Trade as well.
Yeah, certainly will. Bloomberg Radio and TV markets correspondent Kriti Gupta will be checking back with you next hour on some of the other names moving in this pre-market. As we watch futures add to yesterday's losses, S&P futures down 42 points, Dow futures down 324, NASDAQ futures are lower by 116 points. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 1130 weather, mix of sun and clouds today, showers and storms developing, highs near 90 degrees. We'll be in the upper 80s tomorrow and the next day with partly to mostly sunny skies. Right now, 72 in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures are falling along with stocks in Europe and the dollar resuming its advance after high U.S. inflation hardened expectations for more aggressive Federal Reserve monetary tightening that could trigger a recession. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 41 points, Dow futures down 309, NASDAQ futures down 110. The DAX in Germany is down 0.6%. 10-year Treasury down 7/32, yield 2.96%. The yield on the 2-year, 3.19%. NYMEX crude oil is down 2.4% on $2.34 at $93.96 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 1.2% on $21.40 at $17.13.80 an ounce. The euro 1.0035 against the dollar, British pound 1.1864, and the yen 138.78. And Bitcoin this morning is higher, up 0.6% at $19,780. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Karen. High stakes talks in the Middle East. During his first full day in Israel, President Biden and Prime Minister Lapid will hold a full joint briefing later today. A national-wide curfew is in effect in Sri Lanka from last night till this morning after protesters surrounded and entered the Prime Minister's office in Colombo yesterday. The Prime Minister was made acting president after the former president stepped down. In baseball, the Yankees beat the Reds, the Mets beat the Braves, the Nationals lost both games of a doubleheader to the Mariners, the Orioles, a.k.a. Super Dudes, beat the Cubs to win their 10th straight, the Giants topped the Diamondbacks, A's lost to the Rangers. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
How about them O's? Okay, Michael, thank you. It is 5:49 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak at the start of bank earnings season this morning. J.P. Morgan Chase and Morgan Stanley are the first of the big Wall Street firms to open their second quarter books. And Bloomberg Global Finance correspondent Shanali Basak is back with us this morning for more on what to expect? Shanali, this is a really important one because we've already heard from J.P. Morgan Chase CEO Jamie Dimon, of course, that economic hurricane quote that we've all been talking about. Now we get actual numbers to see whether we're in that storm right now.
Yeah, certainly. And he does take questions from media and analysts, and I'm sure he'll get many on what a potential 100 basis point rate hike could mean for J.P. Morgan. Because on one hand, it's more net interest income for the bank that is already expected to start bringing in billions more. But on the other hand, it's happening because people are very worried about inflation and people are very worried about the economic future ahead. So are we going to start seeing provisions for loan losses, higher expectations for charge-offs when we look at the credit book at J.P. Morgan and any potential hints of deteriorating credit quality?
And you got to think in terms of credit as well, looking at the credit card business, the health of the U.S. consumer. J.P. Morgan obviously has a really big Chase credit card business as well.
Yeah, and you did see a slowdown in lending last year when it came to credit cards. There was a real hope that that would start to tick up, but with the economic picture being where it is, and remember, we've reported J.P. Morgan is one of the first of the large banks to start to let people go in a very specific business. When it comes to the mortgage business, there is a slowdown. So are we going to see more layoffs on Wall Street and corporate America more largely that will start to tighten the way consumers start to think about spending and borrowing?
And that kind of goes as well to the sort of dichotomy when it comes to higher interest rates. Obviously, it makes loans a lot less attractive for bank customers. But if you're a saver, maybe this is a good environment for you.
Yeah, that's an interesting question. You see, for example, over at Goldman Sachs at the Marcus business, those interest rates are now 1.2%. That is on the higher end of things that you're seeing here. And there are certainly analysts that are thinking, okay, maybe these deposit betas and the costs for the banks as they pay out higher interest will start to impact the banks too.
And what are we thinking in terms of performance for the trading desks, either for J.P. Morgan or Morgan Stanley? You have to think that they're going to be outperforming given all the market volatility that we've seen over the last several months.
Especially J.P. Morgan, because a lot of that volatility came in the rates businesses and commodities. And J.P. Morgan is humongous when it comes to those businesses. Morgan Stanley is better known for equities, typically. They are getting better at fixed income. Traditionally, they used to make well under $2 billion. This quarter, they're expected to make more than that. So the question will come down to market share gains for Morgan Stanley and maintaining that very competitive spot for J.P. Morgan.
And how about in our last minute here, Shanali, on the deal-making, investment banking side? It's been tough out there for M&A, and that's a big one for both these banks as well.
Certainly, and you do see fees starting to come down drastically, especially when it comes to equity issuance, because there have been virtually no big IPOs. And debt underwriting, where J.P. Morgan has traditionally, in recent quarters at least, brought in more than $1 billion. The business was so hot, they are expected to bring in less than that.
Bloomberg Global Finance Correspondent Shanali Basak with us this morning ahead of J.P. Morgan Chase results. We're expecting those around 7 a.m. Wall Street time, followed closely by Morgan Stanley at 7:30. Of course, we will have full coverage for you throughout the day here on Bloomberg Radio. Shanali, thank you. Karen?
Nathan, it is 5:52 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Law Report, brought to you by American Arbitration Association. Business disputes are inevitable. Resolve faster with the American Arbitration Association, the global leader in alternative dispute resolution for over 90 years. More at ADR.org. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
The Department of Health and Human Services has a warning for pharmacists. They could be charged with violating federal sex discrimination laws if they refuse to fill prescriptions for miscarriage management. The National Labor Relations Board agreed to review a decision granting West Coast port truckers the right to form a union. Amazon.com told Senator Ed Markey that its Ring unit has provided security camera recordings to law enforcement in a few emergency situations that did not require a user's permission.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
All right, Jeff, thanks. And another legal story we're watching as the Georgia investigation into potential criminal interference in the 2020 election heats up. Prosecutors are trying to force allies and advisors of former President Donald Trump to come to Atlanta to testify before a special grand jury. Republican Senator Lindsey Graham has vowed to fight the subpoena issued for his testimony, and now a Georgia judge has ordered him to appear before the grand jury next month. For more, Bloomberg's June Grasso speaks to former federal prosecutor Jennifer Rogers, a lecturer at Columbia Law School.
The judge said that Graham was a necessary and material witness to the grand jury probe. What else can Graham do to get out of this?
Well, he's going to ultimately have to comply. I suspect he can get more time if he wants more time. August 2nd is pretty close to now, so I'm sure if he can work something out with the timing. But this is a legitimate subpoena. A Georgia judge has signed off. They have ways of getting cooperation from other states so that in the worst case scenario, playing it out for Lindsey Graham, if he absolutely refused to comply, he could be arrested and brought to Georgia to testify. So he certainly doesn't want to trigger that happening. So he is going to have to show up there. He could move to quash the subpoena. But this judge has already said that he finds, you know, he's a necessary witness. So that's out. So he's going to have to comply.
Is it just political that he doesn't want to show up? Because, you know, we all know about the two calls he made to the Georgia Secretary of State, Raffensperger. Raffensperger has already testified to the grand jury. And he's been told that he's a witness. He's not a subject or a target of the investigation.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a couple things going on. One thing is in your own self-interest, you want to make sure that you're not in jeopardy. So being told you're not a target is one thing. He might also actually be seeking technical immunity. He may want an actual order of immunity. So his lawyer would be negotiating that. And then the political side, as you mentioned, I mean, he's been a loyal Trump supporter. He doesn't want to be seen as going away from that, right? He still wants to be seen as a loyal Trump supporter. So I think that those things combined is why he's reluctant, but he probably knows he's going to have to do it. This is a little bit of show, I'm resisting, I'm not doing it, they have to come get me. And then lo and behold, in a couple of weeks, there he is in Georgia, right? Mm-hmm. But he wants to give this kind of impression of still being on Team Trump, and he only has to go down there because he has absolutely no choice.
Do you think it would look bad for a sitting senator to ask for immunity?
I think it used to be that if you were a senator and you asked for immunity from criminal prosecution, everyone would be like, that's so outrageous, you know, that you think you did something that you need immunity for. Nowadays, we have people asking for pardons, right? We're kind of in a different world. And there are a lot of criminal defense lawyers who, if they were representing Lindsey Graham, would say, thank you for your statement that he's not a target, but we want immunity. You know, that is what really protects your client.
And that's Jennifer Rogers of Columbia Law School speaking with Bloomberg's June Grasso. Catch more of that interview plus analysis of the latest legal news by subscribing to the Bloomberg Law Podcast or downloading the show at Bloomberg.com/podcast. Attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com and on the Bloomberg Terminal at BLawGo. And again, futures this morning are moving lower. S&P futures down 37 points, Dow futures down 283, and NASDAQ futures down 98. The 10-year Treasury down 8/32, yield 2.96%. And still ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak, we have a check on the business headlines and all the news you need to start your day. And this is Bloomberg.